This is the title of my talk, slightly different from what is written on the announcement, but this with the subtitle, as you will see. This is joint work with Philippe Jorand in Grenoble. So essentially, there will be two parts in my talk. One about the geometry of commutation relation and anti-commutation relation of generalized Pauli operator. I mean tensor products of ordinary spin matrices. In the second part, which will be the main one, I will talk about the group approach of gates in conventional quantum computing, which means that I will start with gates defined on the Pauli group. They are usually called error gates. And another type of gates resulting on stabilizing the Pauli group in the unitary group. And stabilizing gate. That means I will be talking about the Pauli group and the Clifford group. Stabilize the Pauli group. And I will not consider many qubits, only single qubit, two qubits, and at the very end, three qubits. The goal is to show that there is a connection with several types of group. Some of them are called classical groups, like the symplectic groups, but other ones which appear are Mathieu groups, and 22, and also there is a connection with Lie groups, as I will try to show. Here I just put an important group I will meet. Essentially, in the context of two qubits, the alternating group on six letters, a form of generalization of A6 related to the Mathieu group, and also I will see that one can pass from A6 to A5 in some sort of coherent way, just because this alternating group A5 is related to topological quantum computing, as I will show. So essentially, I'm talking about two papers. This is the title which appears in the announcement. It appears in this journal. There, it's more general, n qubits, but I will be talking only on n equal 2 and qubits. So to start, I need some concepts of finite geometry. I will not talk directly on graphs, but behind there are the graphs, and you will recognize some connection. But in graph, you have vertices and edges. In geometries, you have point and line. In finite geometry, just a space of points and line. And to do finite geometry, you need some concept. One of the most trivial one is a concept of a near linear space, which is trivial. It means that on one line, you have at least 2 points. On any line, yes, you have at least 2 points. But on any line, and on 2 points are on at most one line. And if you want to know the linear space, in this case, you have just one line between 2 points. It seems trivial, but it happens to be true only for modeling the commutation relation for two qubits. If you pass to three qubits, then the space is not near linear. I will not talk about it, but this is true. And if you pass to composite case, it's not near linear. That means this near linear space is very trivial, but special property within the context of quantum mechanics. Then, as an example of finite geometry, you have the concept of a projective line. The projective line is defined by simple axioms. It's a linear space in which any two lines meet, and there exists a set of 4 points, no three of which lie on a line. The simplest one is the so-called Fano plane, also called the projective geometry, two-dimensional over the field with two elements. Then comes the concept of a projective space. Essentially, a projective space has projective planes as two-dimensional subsets. And the smallest one is the third-dimensional projective geometry over the field with two elements. These two objects will appear in 42 qubits. Then there are other important structures, a generalized quadrangle. A generalized quadrangle is a near linear space such that given a line and a point outside the line, is also called an anti-flag sometimes, then there is a unique line from the outside point to the line. And a finite general quadrangle, to such a finite general quadrangle, you can give an order, ST, which means that every line contains S plus 1 point, and every point is exactly top T plus 1 line. And there are also some properties which relate to the general quadrangle to strongly regular graphs, which have only three eigenvalues. In this case, we can perfectly get the eigenvalues. Another structure, geometrical hyperplane, are such that every line of the geometry either contains exactly 1 point of the hyperplane or is completely contained in the hyperplane. And finally, the polar space generalizes the concept of the general quadrangle in the sense that if you have an anti-flag, a point outside the line, then the number of points of L joined by P to the line equal exactly 1, as for GQ, general quadrangle, or the total number of points of the line. In fact, this polar space, specific polar space, plays a big role on NQ bits in general. NQ bits are, but the commutation relation of NQ bits correspond to symplectic type of polar spaces, which are symplectic polar spaces. So immediately I give you the full picture of the geometry of a 2-qubit system. I didn't say, but if you have, in fact, you have 15 operators obtained by tensor product of ordinary spin matrices, you remove the identity, the 4x4 identity matrix, you are left with 15 points. And this is the geometry of commutation relation. There's also a graph, but I mean, you have, in graph terms, you have vertices and edges, but in the geometry, you have lines which contains may contain several points, in fact they contain, they always contain 3 points, which correspond to 3 mutually commuting operators. And it turns out that this picture is the smallest projective space, finite projective space, third-dimensional. And the commutation relations of the 2 qubits are embedded into this object and form a general quadrangle over the 2. That means in my notation S equal T equal 2. And I can show you now on the sheet of paper how it appears. You have 15 points and also 15 lines. And the axioms are dual in the sense that it's a general quadrangle for points, but also a general quadrangle for lines. And you can say several things there. For example, you can see how many lines are not intersecting. And if you are if you have a good edge, you can find 5. That means that there are at most, no, there are exactly 5 mutually unbiased basis, because any set of free observables from mutually commutative operators form a base, and two disjoint lines correspond to two mutually unbiased bases. Yes?
Vertices on the graph correspond to operators?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then the lines correspond to if the end commutation is zero or
commutations.
Not zero.
Commutation. They are commuting.
Commuting,
yes, if it's one. In this particular case, if it's not commuting, it's anti-commuting. Because we are talking about the qubits, right? Two qubits or three qubits.
So based on this graph, we can say, you can see a few things. Some of them are expressed in terms of geometries, and others in terms of graphs. I said that the geometry of two-qubit system is general quadrangles of order 2. I call it G2. But behind there is a group. And I will be talking about the group later. I will call it P2, Pauli group. In fact, this general quadrangle GQ of 2 can be seen as a graph G2, and there is an interesting property of this graph. If you start with the complete graph with six elements, the complement of the line graph of this graph is precisely the graph G2. That means essentially G2, the two-qubit Pauli graph, is related to the complete graph with six letters. But in terms of geometry, you can see also this result. In fact, the automorphism group of the general quadrangle of order 2 is precisely the symmetry group with six elements. You see two different languages. Also, I mentioned the mubes. In fact, there are five disjoint lines at most, but there are five such sets. And if you now put the graph of two maximally commuting sets intersect at one line, one base, and they form K6 again. Also, I just mentioned that the S6 outer automorphism group, which is the special case for symmetric group. And later, you will see the connection between the Pauli group and the ref product of the alternating group acting on the copies of Z2. You will see this later. So one can partition the GQ of 2. And one such a partition is this one. And in fact, this is, it looks like the PG22, the Fano plane, except that here it's not commuting. Here you have just a pencil of line in the Fano plane. And this is also, it's also a hyperplane, particular hyperplane of the geometry. And the complement is such a cube. There is another interesting partitioning. Here you have another type, you have a bipartite graph, K33, the notation before. And the rest forms this square. If I understood the previous talk, there is a relation between the two in terms of these fundamental graphs, right? But here, this is quite interesting. Here, I put all observables which form entangled bases. You have lines and columns, and here, the fact that they are on plain lines means something. It means that if you multiply two observables on a line, you get minus the third one. But if you multiply two observables on the column, you get plus the last one. That means you have also a way to demonstrate the quotient speaker theorem in this context. Just because here we have plus or minus one eigenvalues, eigenvalues plus or minus one, but the operation for operator is different. That means at the end, when you multiply by a line and column, you don't have the same relation for observables and for eigenvalues. This is the so-called Mermin square. This fundamental graph is also called Mermin square, just because Mermin wrote a very long paper in a Journal of Modern Physics about this object. This is also an hyperplane, second type of hyperplane. And the third type of hyperplane you have it here. In geometry, it's so-called an ovoid. I mean, a set of points which are not intersecting, and the rest form the so-called Petersen graph. The symmetry of the graph is S5. The automorphism group of the Petersen graph is S5. So we have found three types of hyperplanes. Perp set, Mermin square was a grid, ovoid. And in fact, the geometry of hyperplanes is very important if you want to generalize to three qubits and so on. So now I pass to the main part of my talk. There is already a short paper published. I will talk about the quantum gates and the group theory. Again, I need some concepts of groups. First, you have to know what is a normal subgroup of a group G. It's a group N, which is invariant under conjugation. This is the definition of conjugate element. As example of normal subgroups, you have the center of a group, which is built from all elements which commute with any other element of the group. And it's called Z of G. And you can, as a result, you can form the quotient group G over Z of G, which is called a central quotient, central for center. Second example, you have the group of commutators, G prime commutators, are group theoretical commutators, GH, G minus 1, H minus 1. And they form a subgroup of G. That means you can also put a quotient called the abelianization of G, because HAB is an abelian group. Also, it corresponds to the notion of a first homology group. An important point is that the set K of G of all commutators is not the same thing than G prime, the commutator subgroup. And it turns out that the first case when it appears is as for a perfect group. A perfect group is such that the group of commutators
which is normal in the group equal as a whole. Perfect group has no yes. When you proceed with this Dirac subgroup,
you stop at a perfect group. Sorry.
KG is the set of all commutators of the group.
Oh.
And sometimes it's not the same. And the simplest case appears for a group with 960 elements that we have in meet. So now, in relation to the concept of a normal subgroup,
you have the notion of a group extension. In fact, simple concept. Let's start with two group P and C, such that P is normal in C. Then you are talking about an extension of P by H if there exists such an exact sequence of groups, which means several things, which means that P is isomorphic to a subgroup of C, normal subgroup of C, and also the quotient, the H is isomorphic to a quotient C over P. And for an exact sequence, the image under F1 is the kernel under F2. That means that F1 is injective and F2 is surjective. You can also, okay, now I'll give you example. First example, the direct product of two groups, indeed, is such a short exact sequence. Another example is the semi-direct product of P by H. And the definition of this is that H is isomorphic to a subgroup of C. C can be seen as P times H, and the intersection on P and H is a trivial group with one element. And in this case, the short exact sequence is set to split. And a special case of semi-direct product is the so-called ref product, which means that H is a permutation group acting on copies of a group M. Now I give you an example where K of G is different from G prime. It happens for the group G, ref product of alternating group of A5 by Z2. The order of the group is 2 times 960. And if you start from this semi-direct product, the central quotient of H and the derived subgroup of G are equal and equal to M20. This is in the notation of the group, but it's not a matrix group. But this is precisely the group of 960 elements. And there is also a relation between this M20 and the hyperoctahedral, the so-called hyperoctahedral group, which appears in the context of the Lie algebra of type B5. In fact, W is the very group, the group, the symmetric group of the roots of the Lie algebra of type B5. You see that there are several links. Finally, in the outline, I need also to tell you a word about the group endomorphism. Group endomorphism are function phi from G to itself, such that phi G1 times G2 is phi G1 times G2. And if it is a bijection, then we are talking about automorphism. There are two types of automorphism. Some are induced by conjugation. They are called inner automorphism, and the other are called outer automorphism. Automorphism from a group, inner automorphism from a normal subgroup of the automorphism group, and the quotient is called outer automorphism group. So now, more concrete result. I try to say something about quantum computation. That means I will need some gates, important, and have some important gates that everybody here know about. Adamar gate, the phase shift gate. At a single qubit level, we can talk about superposition of states. And at the two qubit level, we can introduce the entanglement, this control node gate creates an entangled state from product of states. This Toffoli gate is also important for free qubits. So what I'm saying is already was done a long time ago by Gottesman and other people. In quantum computing, we are interested with methods to remove or control the decoherence. You can use quantum codes or the methods like topological methods. But the philosophy of this is that you have a system computer which is in the state psi, under errors, it is G psi, Here I will be interested by G in a group, the Pauli group, and they are in unitary evolution. So that this is the new state of the computer. And stabilizing the error means that starting from P, one stays in P. And there I'm talking about the normalizer of the Pauli group, which is called the Clifford group. This operator, H and P are in the single qubit Clifford group, and C0 is in the two qubit Clifford group. And here I will use a point which is not often put in front of what is said, but this is very important. We are talking about unitary evolution. We stabilize within the unitary group. That means that U dag is also U minus one. It means that the P is a normal subgroup of C. And this is what essentially what I will use. I will use what one can do with normal subgroups in the context of this type of quantum computing. And from now, it's you can do an abstract theory of everything, but you can also just play with the computer. This is what I have done. I've played with GAP package, loop theoretical package. I've played with Magma, and I have found a few interesting things just by playing with this package. And then indeed you can think about it, and indeed you recover what some standard result. But also some, not strange, but interesting result. So let's just start with the single qubit Clifford group. One knows that it is generated by the Hadamard gate and the phase gate. And then you can look at the two qubit Clifford groups. You start from C1 and you add the control Z gate or control mode gate. And then everything is a circuit of gates. One also knows this relation for the number of elements of the Clifford group, and you see that it increases very quickly. That means it's not a very convenient method if you want to pass to groups with more than three qubits. It's impossible. Then afterwards you should be clever and think. But before, you don't need to think, you just do. And I give you an example of Magma program. You just have to put your object in the cyclotomic field, the square root, square root of unity, and then you can easily put the matrices, Kronecker product, and then you get everything about these groups. So let's just start with the single qubit Clifford group. The order is 192. The center is Z8, cyclic group with eight elements. The derived subgroup with SL2, the special linear group 2-3. The central quotient is S4. The abelianization is Z4 times Z2. And you can use this language of short exact sequences and group extension to find one. This is one of them. You need a normal subgroup to create one. This one is obtained from the derived subgroup. This is what we will find. You can also see that there is another normal subgroup, which is GL2 of 3. Slightly generalize this. And it is obtained using T and H, and T, this is the exponential IP over 4, T, H. And I call it a magic group just because it appears in the, this gate appears in the context of a paper by Pitayev, where he introduced this notion of magic states. Just to say that there is a connection. Doesn't claim that any the story finished from this method, but just because they appear in this context. And you can also see that indeed that P1 is a normal subgroup C1, and the quotient is D12, the dihedral group, which is the symmetric group of a regular hexagon. Then you can pass to 2-qubit. This is a way to generate the 2-qubit Pauli group with 5 elements. The 2-qubit Clifford group, you can get it from HP and Control Z. And among the short exact sequences, there is one which is associated to the, well, you start from the Clifford group, you take the central quotient, divide by the center, and the, it turns out that there are only two normal subgroups. One is Z2 to D4, and the other one is U6. And U6 is quite similar to A6 in the sense that they have the same structure, the same outer automorphism group as well. This group, U6, is of order 5760. And why I extracted this group and not another one, there is a reason for this. Now, first, there is a nice definition. There is a set of relation that U6, in fact, is the automorphism group of the derived subgroup of P2. This one is obtained also nicely from a Wolff product, A6 acting on copies of Z2. This is one aspect. You also, S6 is recovered by the quotient of C2 by P2, but the main aspect is the geometry. It turns out that U6 is a maximal subgroup of the big sporadic group, starting with M22. M22, the geometry of the Mathieu group M22, is obtained from a so-called Steiner system. A Steiner system is composed of point, block, and a C element set together with a set of B element subset of S are called block, which are called block, have a property that each A element subset contain exactly, contains exactly one block. And it turns out that M22 stabilizes the Steiner system with 22 points, 6 blocks, and each set of 3 points is contained in exactly one block. Now, this is definition of M22. Now, what about U6? U6 stabilizes an hexad, which means a set of 6 points. It's a subgeometry of the M22. So I talked about the relation between normal subgroups of the Clifford group. Now I'm talking about an interesting subgroup of Clifford group where one passes from A6 to A5. And it is related to topological quantum computing in the following way. I just start by reminding you what is topological quantum computing. It starts with the idea of a pair of observables, V minus 1, also called magnetic fluxes, and these pairs play the role of the qubits, and one permutes them within some large enough non-abelian finite group, such as A5, which is one of the relevant examples. There is also the concept of a magnetic flux, which corresponds to electrical charge and is labeled by irreducible representation of V. But I will not use this part of the topological quantum computing in my example. There is an exchange within G, according to this simple relation, and also it can be shown that this process can produce universal quantum computation, and is also related to the so-called Young-Baxter equation, which I've written here. But here I will be very simple and just say that among the solution of Young-Baxter equation, there is this one, R, which appears in several papers, and is called as a Bell basis change matrix. One of the papers where everything is explained is this one. Now what I will do, again by playing, instead of generating the Clifford group, I will replace the control Z gate by the R gate, and then I will be left with the group B2 that I call Bell group. And this Bell group is a subgroup of the Clifford group. And you can immediately see that its definition, at least property, the derived subgroup of B prime 2 is Z2 works for the A5. And remember that this it appears in the context of this M20 group. In fact, M20 group is the semi-direct product, A5 acting on four copies of Z2. Again, you can take the quotient of the B2 by the Pauli group. Instead of S6, you have S5, the stabilizer of the Petersen graph. So you see, just with simple tricks, I pass from S6 to S5, A6 to A5, and I also recovered this specific ref product in this context. One can say, is it just a coincidence, or is it more important, more profound? It may be more profound, and I will explain you why. In fact, in this table, what I have said, what I have done, I started with the complete set of MUBs, and I took the group. I took the group obtained by taking the M1, M2, and M5, which form the maximal independent set associated to the MUB. And that means I form the group G2, we have these two non-commuting elements, G3, three, and so on, until G4. After G5, G5, and G4 are the same. And what I obtain? I obtain, okay, so a group, I didn't say what is the group, the corresponding group, subgroup of a Pauli, there are subgroup of Pauli group, but I have been interested by automorphism group of this subgroup, and at the end I recover the ref product Z2 by A5. That means that there is a relationship between the symmetries in the MUBs, the automorphism group associated to MUBs, and this ref product, and also then by to this approach of topological quantum computing. But it's not the last word. It's not when we passes to three qubits, you have more, in fact, you have seven elements in the independent set. The maximum independent set are seven elements, and you can form a bigger group. And it turns out that they have also a very simple definition, where now the ref product adds on Z2 to D2 or Z2 to D3 as a maximum. And also turned out that this Z2 to the reference Z2 and S5 correspond to the simplest example of a non-additive quantum code. That means that it cannot be a coincidence. There is also a relation to non-additive quantum code. Also, I just mentioned that, because I forgot to do it, that A5 is the symmetric group of the icosahedron. A Fullerene-based quantum computer was proposed. Fullerene has the icosahedral symmetries, as viruses, I think that may be some application of this set of IDs. Okay, we are at the level of 2 qubits and a little bit at the level of 3 qubits. Now, can we continue can you pass to 3 qubits and more? First, using computer facilities. And yes, you can do it, but you have to pass from gap to magma as well, just to, for people wanted to do that. With gap, you are blocked because it is not able to manipulate such big groups. But magma can do. Okay, first I remind you that the Clifford group is the semi-direct product of the 2 to the 4 and the 6, and my Bell central quotient of Bell group is obtained by replacing S6 by S5. But here I remind that S6 is also a symplectic group, SP4, 4, 2, and this is where the generalization is obtained. Now, if you pass to 3 qubits, then you still get this Clifford group on 3 qubits as a semi-direct product. But here, instead of having S6, you have what I have called G1, which is the symplectic group SP6-2 with this order. And indeed, it continues for n qubits, this is a symplectic group S2n. And 2. But if you try to generalize this, you can generate this group, this Bell group on 3 qubits, replacing control Z by R, and what you get is this simple semi-direct product in which G2 is not the symplectic group, it's another group. In fact, it's a SU42, the unitary group, special unitary group, which is the same in this case, 4x4 matrices, unitary matrices with the field with two elements, and there is an isomorphism between this with another group, which is a projective symplectic group 4-3. There is also find another isomorphism with Klein quadrics, but I didn't mention it. And the geometry of this has to do with the, again, with Lie algebra. It's well known that SP62 corresponds to the symmetry group of roots root diagrams of the Lie algebra AE7. But now this group correspond to the Bell group associated to the Lie algebra E6. And there is still another connection that is not on the slide because it would be too heavy, but I mentioned it. This group, I said at the beginning that S6, SP42, stabilized the general quantum number for the 2. But it turns out that this group, G2, stabilized the general quadrangle for the 2 or for the 3. Still another connection to geometry. So I will finish with this slide. If we want to go further, we have to enter into more details in the so-called theory of classical groups and geometry of this group. Essentially, every useful concept is in Jacques Pitts. But I have to say that it is very difficult. Jacques Pitts invented two important concepts. One is the concept of the polar space. I've mentioned it. And he invented the other concepts, and he participated in the classification of simple groups. And somewhere there is a concept of BN pairs. In fact, these are B and N are subgroups of a group. But there, B and N are not so normal subgroups. In fact, they are subgroups related to forgot. There are different other type of subgroups. And what is necessary is to understand what are the BN pairs associated to the Clifford group to see exactly what it means, and to explain why we have this connection to Lie group and so on. Okay, everything has to do with topological quantum computing, the non-additive quantum codes, and there is also a relation to the geometry of rings, and I have a couple of other papers on this topic in collaboration with my colleague in Slovakia, Tocenica, that you can find in the archive. So thank you.
Michel, could you please explain again the connection that you see with topological quantum computing? So you started out with two qubit Clifford group and suddenly saw a connection with topological quantum computing. How exactly did it arise?
Yes, it arises. Instead of defining the Clifford group, you define this, what I call the Bell group, replacing control Z by R K. And it turns out that this is
possible. Could you show the R gate again on the
previous? R gate is this gate. This is it belongs to these match gates it appears in a different occasion. Despite this special one, I used it the paper by Kaufman and Lomonakov, where he emphasizes the role of his gate. They are also products.
Okay. So, if I was just to say, you didn't talk about, can you get other games? And the Merman square?
Ah, Merman square.
I mean, can you get other games?
Merman square. Yes, this is the Merman square.
Yeah. What are, I mean, for non-qubits, do you get some new games?
Ah, you are talking about the games associated to Merman square.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is not a topic I'm very familiar with. As I said, this is one of the three types of hyperplanes of the quadrangle, and this is an important subgeometry because it can be used to show the contradiction between the laws of observables and the laws of eigenvalues. This is what I've done what he does is you have plus or minus one of eigenvalues, any vertex or point, and if you multiply by line and column, you get n plus one. But if you do the same with operators, since you have here 4 times 8 minus I, and you have 3 times, I mean minus I, the identity matrix, you get another relation. But n, in Merman square, you come from many, but there is a unique one which is like this. That means everybody is entangled. Okay. You have 6 different entangled layers. But the relation to games, I did it, maybe you did.
Other questions? Then it's time for coffee and cookies. So, again, 11:30. Thank you.